It's good to be here this morning and to just enjoy each other's presence, enjoy God's presence. We have been in a series on what God has to say about giving, and we'll be wrapping that up this week. And so just looking at the last part of that today. Let's just pray together as we prepare our hearts. Father, this morning, it's been good to be in your presence. It's been good to just sense that your Holy Spirit is here. Knowing that whenever you're here and whenever you make yourself known, there are things that you want us to learn. There are things that you want to teach us. And so I just pray that our hearts would be open to you, that we wouldn't be looking for anything specific, that we wouldn't come in with high expectations, that we're going to have some kind of an experience or some kind of a overwhelming kind of aha moment or an emotional kind of a time. God, I pray that we just be open to receiving from you whatever you have to give us. We'd have our hearts open so that we're just aware of that still small voice of your Spirit as he speaks to us, that we would hear him clearly, and then we would have the courage to deal with the things that he says, because he always says things that are challenging to us. So help us to just have the courage to pursue this path that you have us on, this becoming more like Jesus, becoming generous like you are, reflecting more of your heart in our lives. Give us the courage to keep pushing in and pushing on that path, so that more and more this world will know that you are God, not just because of the words that we say, but because of the lives that we live and the ways that you show yourself through us. So, Father, do your work here this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be reading a passage of Scripture from Matthew 25. It's verse 14 through 29. It's a story that Jesus told, talking about the kingdom of heaven. But Matthew 25 says this: Jesus said, "Again, the life of the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave one of them 5 bags of silver, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last one, dividing it in proportion to their abilities, and then he left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 bags more. The servant with the 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 bags more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time away, their master returned from his trip and called them to give account for how they had used his money. And the servant whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 10 and said, 'Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more.' The master was full of praise. 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate.' The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, 'Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver, and I have earned 2 bags more.' The master said, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate.' Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, 'Master, I knew you were a hard man to live up to, harvesting crops you didn't plant, gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid that I would lose your money, so I hid it in the ground. But look, here's all your money back.' But the master replied, 'You wicked and lazy slave, you knew I harvest crops I don't plant and I gather where I didn't cultivate. Why didn't you deposit the money in the bank? At least would have earned some interest.' So he ordered, 'Take the money from this one servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. For to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who merely cling to what they have, even what little they have is taken away.'" I want to show you guys one of the best magic tricks for little kids ever. Take a napkin, crumple it up. Okay, now watch closely. Ready? 1, 2, 3. And it's gone. Now, I know not many of you guys were fooled by that. That's why I said it was one of the best magic tricks for little kids. When you tell kids, you say, watch this, they're watching. And where you have the sound and all the commotion, that's where they're watching. So they never see that, right? And they're just watching that, and they go, wow, all I know is I saw a napkin in your hand, and now it's gone. Magic, right? As adults, what makes us look around beyond to just what I told you to look at? What makes us think when I say, here's the magic trick, why were you looking for where the napkin went? Well, because over our lives, we have learned certain things. It has challenged some of our assumptions that we had as kids, right? It has challenged some of the ways that we've thought and looked at the world. We know napkins don't disappear. So when I say I'm going to make this disappear, you guys know it went somewhere. So you're looking for it. That's what we do. Because things that we learn, they change us, right? They make us see our world differently, and they make us see our place in it very differently. You guys, I hope that the last several weeks have changed us. I hope that as we have looked at what God has to say about giving, that has changed our perspective on, one, what he said, but also why he said it, what he was getting at. Because he seems to have a lot different point to what he says than some of the points that we think he's trying to make. What we have learned over the last several weeks is this. One, God is not simply interested in us carving out some small portion, some percentage of what we have and giving a piece of the pie to him. That's not the point. He says he doesn't care whether it's just the tithe, the literal 10%, or whether we take several 10% plus the extra that he asked Israel for. He doesn't care. That's not the point. He said in Psalm 50, he doesn't need our stuff. He's not looking for our stuff. However, instead, God wants us to think seriously about how do we give and intentionally give and pool our resources so, one, we care for others well. We care for others well. We support well those who God is raising up and calling out from among us to do his ministry and serve his people. And third, that we know how to celebrate and build up his community and celebrate this life and his goodness, that we know how to do that well. God says he wants us to do those things. Why? Because that's when we begin to reflect better his own heart. That's when we become more and more like him, and that is the point. I hope that we've seen that is the point of everything that God says about giving, that we might become more and more like him in the way that we care for others, in the way that we support his people, in the way that we celebrate life together. Another thing that we've seen is we saw that God, we're supposed to give to God, give to others, share with others the first and the best of what we have, not just the leftovers, right? We're supposed to be sharing the best with others. Why? Because that's what God did with us. He shared the best that he had with us. And again, we're becoming more and more like him. So we share with each other the first and best. We also saw that God told us that if we would learn to give in this way, if we would join with him, he would join with us as a partner. That he would come alongside and make sure there are no gaps, there are no spaces, there are no empty holes. God said he would make up for what we think that we're losing when we join him as a partner. That if we would enter into this and participate with him to care for others well, he would care for us well as well. And what we saw is that when God joins us as a partner, crazy stuff starts to happen, right? When God joins us as a partner, when God, the God who made something out of nothing, made everything out of nothing, that God, when he joins us as a partner, that's when magic seems to start happening, right? Because he says, I will take care of you. I will fill in the gaps. We find that when we use well the things that God has entrusted to us, he says, that's when more will be given, even to an abundance. Amen? Now, there was another part that we didn't press into, but it's also important about the sacrificial system of the Old Testament. We touched on this, but we didn't go into it too deeply, but there were some things that God asked his people to give. He says, I want you to give the first and the best, but these are the offerings of your sin offerings, and I want you to put them on the altar, and we're just going to burn them to ash. The first and the best of what you have. Why? Because I want you to have a clear picture of how sin impacts your lives. How sin impacts this world. That it takes the first and the best of what we have, and often it just burns it to ash. That it takes the best of what we have for the future, and it just burns it to ash. It takes the provision that God has given us for the present, and it just burns it to ash as if it wasn't there. That is the impact that sin has on our lives. And God says to Israel, I want you to have a picture of this regularly in front of you. Now, why don't we offer those kind of sacrifices? Why does God not ask us to give those kind of sacrifices? Because he told us that we should see that picture every time we see the cross. Every time we look at the cross, that we see this is what sin costs us. This is what sin cost God. We're the first and the best of what he had to offer us. And the first and the best that we had in our hands, he came and he lived among us. God himself incarnate lived among us. And we just took him and we beat him and we crucified him. We dug a hole and we threw him in it and covered him up. This was the best future we had. This was the best possible king we could have been given. And yet that's how we treated him. And when we look at the cross, we see ourselves in that crowd surrounding him and spitting on him and mocking him and out of our minds not knowing what we're doing. Because God wanted us to know this is what sin does. This is what sin does to us. This is what sin does to our world. And so now instead of asking us to bring offerings and sacrifices, God says, what I want you to do is I want you to accept mine. Because in that sacrifice, I've taken that loss, I've taken that brokenness, and I've paid that debt, and I've made good that loss. I've turned it so that now you receive life through that sacrifice. You don't just have a picture of the death. Amen? You guys, we need to know that is part of God's teaching on giving for us. We need to know that the cross stands right in the middle of God's teaching on giving for us. Why do we give? Because this world is broken. And we give of our best so that we can reflect the God who gave of his best so that we can make things right and make things whole in his name again. Over the last weeks, we've looked at several key verses. We looked at Malachi 3. We looked at Proverbs 3. We looked at Psalm 50. We looked at Deuteronomy 15 and 16. And we've seen the challenges God put in front of us. And we've been putting together this list of questions that we should be challenging ourselves with, right? You guys remember these? 9 questions. So we asked ourselves things like, what does it mean for me to give my first and best? Who are the landless poor who are among us now? How are we supposed to invest in them? How willing am I to trust God that he's going to keep up his part of the bargain? Right? That was a big one. Do I give? Do I dig in order to give at a standard, in order to bring somebody up to at least the standard of living I have, if not further? Is that how I give? That's how God gave to us. Do I give at a level that requires God to be a partner with me? Do we as a church have a comprehensive strategy for how we use our gifts for these priorities that God has set in front of us? How well do we celebrate together? Do I set a portion of what God has given me and blessed me with? Do I set a portion aside just to celebrate with God's people? Do I understand how central, how core celebration is to the very nature and character of God and to me as one has been made in the image of God? Do I understand that? You guys, when we started the series, we pulled out, there was a verse in 1 Corinthians that we looked at that I want us to remember, because one of the things we saw was that God doesn't want us to just take the system that he had in the Old Testament and just do it, right? He doesn't want us to just say, okay, this is what they did, this is what we do. Because in 1 Corinthians it says that these things were done as an example to us, these things were written for our instruction. Right? So we don't need to just go, okay, we do that. It's more like we look at it and we say, okay, what are we supposed to do with this? Because there are things that we need to be doing. So we say, what are we supposed to do with this, God? What are we supposed to do with all this, knowing your heart, knowing your intentions and your priorities? Well, there are things that we need to do as a church, okay, as a community. So what are the things that we need to do as a church? As far as being intentional about God's priorities and giving, first, we need to care for people who have needs. We need to care well for people in need. Amen? Right? That's one of God's priorities. We need to do that well. We need to support well those who God is raising up and calling out from our midst, calling them into ministry and into mission to serve him and to serve his people. We need to support them well. Amen? It's God's priority. We need to celebrate God's goodness as a community. We need to celebrate well. That was one we talked about last week. God said, I want you to have fun. Not just I want you, I command you to have fun. Amen? You're going, well, I guess so. If you have to twist my arm, okay. We'll have fun together. You guys, largely, we think of this as this, and it does. Leadership of this church, we need to take these priorities seriously. This is what God said. This is where his heart's at. But as members of this church, what is your responsibility in that? You need to be reminding our leadership, encouraging our leadership to pursue the things that God has told us to pursue. You need to be reminding them and encouraging them to pursue being the community, the church that God has called us to be. Loving people well that God has called us to love. And I want you to hear this one. You need to be encouraging our leadership to hold you accountable to be a part of meeting these priorities and engaging in, investing in, and partnering with God in these priorities he's set out in front of us. Amen? Amen. I have to think about that one. Because not only does the church have responsibilities, but we as individuals, God has laid a challenge at each of our feet as well. He has put in front of us and he said, there are things where God has laid this challenge out, this is where we step up and we say, am I going to be one of those who follows what God, his challenge in Malachi 3, he said, test me now in this. Test me now in this, that if you join with me to participate in these priorities with me, well, if I will not join with you, test me. So there are things that God challenges us to do as individuals. This morning, I want to give you guys some practical kind of next steps. What are these things that we're supposed to be doing? I want to throw out some practical steps that we can start taking so that we can start growing in the way that we join with God in our giving and in caring for others well and supporting well and joining with this church so that we as a community reach and participate in the priorities of God well. These are practical ways to test God and see if on his end, if he will not, if we join with him, if he will not join with us. I want to ask you guys to do something. On your way in, if you received a bulletin, I want you to take out that Connect card. And if you're new here, great, fill it out and let us know who you are. But if you've been around for a while, I still want you to take that Connect card because I'm going to have you guys writing stuff down, okay? And we're all going to write it down. We're all going to drop it in the offering because a lot of times what we do is we look at kind of the end of our journey. We say, well, that's overwhelming. I don't know how I could possibly do that. You guys, what's important this morning is not looking at the end of the journey and saying, how could I be generous like Jesus, right? It's really saying, what's the next step that God has for me? That's the important step, the next one. That next right step in that journey towards becoming generous like Jesus, that's the important one to pay attention to. That's what I want to look at this morning. So first of all, some of you are here this morning, and you just need to simply get your finances, your spending, your giving, you just need to get a handle on what's going on, right? You just need to figure out what you have and where it's going. Currently, you don't have anything budgeted for giving or for sharing with other people because you don't have a budget. And that's not a condemnation, right? I want you to know that. There was a recent Gallup poll, and they said over 50%, like 59% of Americans do not have a budget. So you're in good company, okay? The problem with that is that all the resources that God pours into our hands just run through our fingers like water. Because we don't know where they're going, and we're not tracking them. We don't know. We're not using them intentionally. They're just kind of pouring through. And God says that's not what he intended for us to do with the resources he entrusts to us. Because those who use well the resources that he entrusts to them, they will not only have, they will have an abundance because more will be given. Amen? So we need to start by just saying, okay, how do I start with a budget? How do I start building up something where I am intentionally getting a handle on what I have and then how much I set aside to be used by God to care well for others? Now, throughout the years in this church, I know that many of you guys have heard of Financial Peace University, right? Heard of that. And there's a certain group of people in this church that have offered that over and over and over again. And every time they have signups, you know, not many people sign up because they're going, you guys, this is a chance, and I haven't told them that I'm throwing this out there, and they're looking at me going, they're going, what? Okay, I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow, but we're going to have this again. And we want to know who are the people who are a part of our congregation that want to take that next step, who want to learn how to get a handle on their money. We want to know who those people are. Who is here that wants us to take, that's your next step, with learning how to give and join God in what he's doing. But there's a group of people who have been offering that and that can help you learn how to budget your money so that you can more intentionally join with God in what he's doing. So what I want you to do, if that's you, if you want to do this secretly, that's fine. Wait till the second group and fill it out then. I want you to fill out your name on that Connect card and put down an email address or a phone number. And then very simply in the comments, just put FPU, Financial Peace University, FPU. And when the offering comes, you just drop it in the offering, all right? And I'm going to tell you, the leadership, we're going to see these cards. We're going to look at them. This is you saying, I want you to hold me accountable to taking these steps so that we as a community become better because I take the step forward to become more like Jesus in the way that I generously give and intentionally care for others well. Okay? First step. Second group. Some of you are here and you've been budgeting for years, right? You're doing that well. The only problem is that you don't have budgeted in anywhere. You don't have giving budgeted in. You just kind of, that just comes when it comes and, you know, if you think about it or if you feel it. So you haven't intentionally put anything aside. Well, for you, what's your next step? It's probably going home and saying, God, how much would you like me to set aside intentionally to give towards taking care of people well, towards investing in leaders that God is calling up from among us, towards celebrating as a community? How much? Maybe you want to jump into this thing and you want to test God at this like 10%, the tithe level. You say, I'm going to jump at 10. Great, do it. Maybe you want to start smaller. Maybe you want to say, okay, I'm going to intentionally just 2%. Let's start there. You guys, I don't think that God really cares where you start. I think he does care that you do start. I also don't think that he cares where you give right now. If this is your first step, you can give it to the church here. You can give it to the care center. You can give it to the United Way. I don't think God cares. He just wants you to learn how to intentionally give to other people to help them, to intentionally invest in caring well for others. Start there. But if that's you, what I want you to do, I want you to fill out this card as well. Put down your name. All of you guys should be writing your name on this card at this point because it's going to should impact everybody pretty much, right? Write your name down. Write a contact, either a phone number or email. And I want you to just write simply the word begin. Begin. I'm going to begin looking at what God wants me to intentionally set aside in my budgeting process at home so that I can intentionally invest in the lives of others instead of just in my own. The first and the best. Now, I do want to say something at this point to all of us, because some of you have a very strong sense that God has called you here to this church. He has called you to be a part of this community. He has called you to be a part of the ministries that we are doing in this community and the way that we are caring for others as a community. We're caring well. We are investing in the lives of those. If that's the case, I want you to take seriously how much of your gift that God is calling you to give to this place. Because as God has called you here to be a part of this ministry, He's called you to be a part of pooling our stuff together so that we can do good work in the name of Jesus in the community. Amen? So think about that. What part is it? It may be all of it. It may be some of it. But think and pray about that as well in your budgeting. Now, the third group, some of you guys have been giving at a certain level for a while. You have it written in there. You got it budgeted out. It may be 2%. It may be 10%. It may be over 10%. It may be $5 a week when you say, when I'm at church, I'm going to give $5 no matter what. Whatever that level is that you're giving. Your question is this. Can I increase it? Can I up my giving? Can I up my generosity quotient so that more people will be cared for well? So that more leaders will be invested in and supported well in this place? So that we can celebrate more and better as a community? Can I increase it? You guys, in the Old Testament, God started with Abraham. We have the first kind of giving that happened with Abraham. Abraham gave a tithe, just 10% of the blessing that God had given. He gave the 10% to God. Then we have Israel. And in Israel, we saw it went like to 45%, right? So there's this huge amount that God asked for from Israel. When he got to the church, he didn't even talk about percentages anymore. You know what he talked about? Hilarious giving. Just where you're just kind of just laughing as you're just throwing it in. Just to be able to do it. This is hilarious. This is great. Right? He also said that there are people in his church that he has just gifted with not only the means, but the heart to give well and to give abundantly, to give generously, to serve almost like a model of what his heart is for us in the community. To see how they give and we go, oh, that's what it looks like to join with God and then God joins with you. That's what it looks like to have the heart of God in giving. Okay? But he said there's this different thing that he is kind of built up in his church that's just about generosity. And some of you need to be leaning into that generosity more, into that spiritual gift to the community of giving. You just need to. That's where you find joy. That's where your passion is anyway. So lean into it. But many of us, we just need to say, can I give more? Does God really want to put on my heart to take that next step? And I'm not talking about trying to go from 10% to 45. But if you're at like a tithe and you're saying, I could give a little bit more. I could see us seeing the impact that I can have on the lives through the ministries of this church. I could do that. So on your card, I want you to fill it out. I want you to put your name and your contact information. I just want you to put the three letters. UGQ, I'm going to up my generosity quotient, okay? I want to up my generosity quotient. I want to raise that bar. I want to be tested in this. And I want you to hold me accountable to this because I think this is what God is calling me to. Now, some of you guys are sitting out there going, oh boy, right? You guys, I want you to know that we're going to be looking at these cards and following them, not in a way to harass you. Because I don't want your money. I really don't. And God doesn't want your money. He really doesn't. God's going to take care of this church one way or the other. He's going to help us do the ministry one way or the other. You know what I want for you? I want you to discover the truth that when you join with God, He joins with you. I want you to find that out. And so if you are thinking that maybe this has a bit of bad motivation behind it, why I'm making this appeal, you know what I want to challenge you to do? If you don't trust, if you believe that there's something, you know, this is some kind of scam to get your money, give to another church for a while. And I'm serious. Test God out in this. I don't care whether you invest in the kingdom there or here. I don't care. Test Him out. And see that if you start giving, if He doesn't come alongside and start blessing you in ways that you never expected, never imagined. And then maybe you can bring your giving back here so that we as a community can do a lot of good. But I don't care what it takes. Test God out in this. Take your next right step. Because you will find that God will come alongside of you in ways that you could not have imagined. You guys, Shane Claiborne, he's a Christian author, he's a Christian speaker. He told a story once about he had lived for a year with Mother Teresa in India. And he said he was there and he was learning, trying to learn what does it mean to have a lifestyle of giving, a lifestyle of service to the poor, to people in need. And so in his time there, he said there was this wealthy woman who had just come into a relationship with Jesus, came to Mother Teresa and said, what do I need to do to serve those in need? What do I need to do to invest better in the lives and care better for those who have need with what I have? And she was a little bit scared. She was scared that Mother Teresa was going to pull out the words of Jesus that he gave to the young ruler and say, well, sell everything, give it to the poor, and come follow me. But she didn't. Instead, she looked at the woman and she said, I notice you have some very beautiful clothes on. She said, how much did that sari cost? The woman said, it cost about $1,000. She said, well, the next time you go and you buy a sari, buy one for $900 and give the extra $100 to the poor and see what God does. See how God comes alongside you and blesses you in ways you never expected because of the way that you have invested in what He is investing in. He said, by the time that was done, the woman was buying $100 saris. She made all kinds of other changes in her lifestyle, in her life, to free up her resources in order to invest in the things where God's heart was. You guys, I think there is a lot we can do if we take step by step by step in becoming more generous. Generous like Jesus. Generous like the heart of God. Just taking that next step and saying, God, how do you want me to grow in this way? So that when we stand before God, we know we are those who have taken what He has invested in us and entrusted to us, and we have used it well. And we'll hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. Let's celebrate. Amen? Father, we want to thank You. We want to thank You, one, for Your generosity. It's the only reason we can talk about this. Because You have given so much to us. It was so unexpected. It wasn't prompted by our giving to You. It was prompted because You just had it to give. And God, You have given us an abundance of resources. And even the least of us, we have something. We have something that we can set aside, we can entrust to You. And say, I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of how You're caring for others well. I want to be a part of how You're raising up and supporting those who You have called into Your ministry and into service to You. I want to be a part of Your community coming together and celebrating well. I want to be a part of that. So, Father, help us to see clearly what those steps are for us. help us to go boldly into that. I want to pray for everybody sitting here right now that they will have the guts to write their name down and tell someone else to hold them accountable to what you are doing in their life. Because, God, we have to grow in this. We have to grow in this. There's a world that is desperately needing the resources that you have invested here and the love and the spiritual and physical resources that you have given to us. So, Father, give us the courage and the boldness to take this step. In the name of Jesus, who gave all that he had on the cross for us, we pray this in his name. Amen. Every week we have the opportunity to worship God in different ways. One of those ways is we give, and we do. We take up an offering every week. It is worship to God. It is a statement of faith of saying, God, I know you can, I'm going to join you, but I know that you're going to back me up, that you're going to help me get by with this. I feel like I've taken a chunk out, but you're going to help me get by with 90% better than you get by with 100%. You're going to help me get by with the little I have left because I've given you the first and the best. It's also a statement of thanks, of saying, God, I just give this to say thank you. It's also a way of saying, God, I want to join with you in this, in the work that you're doing. So this morning as we take the offering, I want to ask that, you know, give generously of the resources God has blessed you with, but also put those cards in. You guys, some of you guys are sitting there and you haven't even filled them out. And you know what God's pressing on your heart right now. Fill them out and put them in. Let's be the church. Amen? Let's take the offering this morning. And let's thank God for his incredible gift to us in Jesus Christ. Amen.